Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In Luke chapter 24, we're going to start reading with verse 13. I just want to talk with you this morning about how we can encourage one another spiritually, how we can encourage one another to honor the Lord, walk with the Lord, grow in the Lord, work through difficult things through in our life, and how we can encourage one another. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And as we read this morning, we're going to probably go to two passages. Another one will be in John, and I'll let you know when we get there. I just want us to pull out, little principles along the way of how the Lord encourages us and how we can encourage one another. And some of these principles and things that we're going to pull out are very simple. And sometimes they're so simple that as we read through the passage, we just read over these things and we forget about the practical relevance of what is happening. And that is easy for us, you know, for that to happen. So in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, it says, now this is after Jesus was crucified, dead, buried, rose again, okay? And so that's kind of the real recent history to the account that we're going to read. So now that same day, two of them, in other words, two fellows, they were walking and going to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, where, now remember, it's where the crucifixion and resurrection had taken place. And they were talking, these two men were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Okay, so they were there, they were in Jerusalem, they're talking about what's happened. What's going on, and what they observed, probably what they heard, maybe what they saw, who they met with, who they heard things from. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they did not recognize him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" I'm sorry. I just find Jesus very humorous at times, you know, like he doesn't know. And he asks these simple questions. And I want you to know that you and I need to pay attention to some of those simple questions that the Lord asks us. That's a great little ingredient that we need to keep in our life. And so he says, "What are you discussing together?" They stood still. Their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem?" Well, yeah, kind of. do you not know the things that have happened here in these days? And Jesus says, "Well, what things?" I'm sorry, once again, I just find, you know, Jesus so, I don't know, so warm and so understanding and so gracious. And here it is all about him and what he's done. And he's like, "What are you talking about? Or, oh, these last few days, well, tell me, what's going on?" And they said, "About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in the word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests, our rulers, handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women, or our women, amazed us." In other words, these two fellows were real hopeful in Jesus. They believed in him. And they went to the tomb. They described these women. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said that they would see it. And he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he began to explain to them what was said and the scriptures that were concerning Jesus or himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly to stay with us, to stay with them, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. Now realize, they still don't know that this is Jesus. And when he began to explain to them, understand, when he began to explain to them what was going on, you know, and started with Moses and worked his way through the prophets, and he began to instruct them and teach them, what he was doing is because, remember, when he came upon them, they were downcast. They were sad. They were talking about what happened. It's like they lost some hope. They weren't sure what was going on. We thought Jesus was the one. And they were downcast. And so he began to explain to them from Moses forward so that they would stop doing this and start doing this. Ah, we get it. We believe. He is the one. This is what had to happen for the salvation that they were longing for. They were looking at it from a different perspective, a very human perspective. And Jesus began to explain so that they could take encouragement. They could have understanding and not look through all of this just from human reason. And so here they are. They approach the village and, you know, they ask Jesus to come and stay. And he says, okay. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road, opening the scriptures to us? They got up and went back to Jerusalem and had to share with the other disciples what was happening. Encouraging one another in our spiritual walk. I know that even though we may be in right relationship with the Lord, we still need encouragement in him. Okay? And then there are those that we know in our life who maybe were at a place where they were walking with the Lord. Things were pretty close. Things were pretty good for them at one point. And they may openly admit, or you may observe, without passing judgment as if you're the final judge, but you can see things that have transpired in their life where they have, well, we call it backslidden, or they are not at the place they were relationally with the Lord. And so we pray for them, and it concerns us. But we always, you know, how do we talk with them? How do we share with them? How do we encourage them to continue on with the Lord? Because sometimes we're a little bit afraid to approach that with them because they may think they're okay. They may, you know, tell you, "I know that." Because we're reminding them of things that they know that they once knew and once lived. And we also get a little fearful of, well, I'm not so perfect, and they know some things in my life that I've gone through, and it's the whole, who do I think I am? Sharing this with them. And all these little traps that we set for ourselves. I want you to know that part of it is actually taking time to walk with somebody. Simple. It's not complicated, but time to walk with somebody. And I know we live in this age of technology and and I'm not, listen, I am not against it, even though I don't use it to the extent of what the technology that I own and use or rent or lease or pay for, whatever it is, I don't even know. I did hand me these contracts and I sign them. And then they hand me this stuff. And then each month I get a bill. Just like you. But I don't use my smartphone to the extent that it has its intelligence. I'm fairly simple. You've heard me say this. I text and I email. And once in a great while, I use it for something else. I may pull up a compass app. And then I decide to use the old-fashioned one that has satellite service nowhere. No, doesn't matter where I'm at. It tends to work. Anyhow, so I know that there's a great advantage to this technology that you can send out group messages. You can do encouragement through the text and email and Facebook messaging and Pinterest and other names of things that I don't even know what they are. I get it. And I think there's value in it, and I think it's good. And I want you to know, this is not old-fashioned talking. Don't just say, pastor's getting old. He's from a different era. Okay? There's some truth to that, but this is not old-fashioned talking. There is something different about walking with somebody and being with them face to face. There's something you can do, encouragement, you can send quotes, you can send scriptures, you can do all these things on Facebook and messaging. Please continue to do it. I am not saying stop doing that. I'm just telling you that we can begin to insulate our life and we forget about what it is to walk with somebody. The age of, you know what, I'm going to call them, I'm going to talk with them, and I'm going to let them know that if it's convenient, I would like to stop by for 5 minutes, or I would like to do this or that. We have now resorted to, I'll send them a text message, and it's good enough. And sometimes it is good enough. But sometimes, whether we recognize it or not, they need a walk, or you need a walk, or coffee and pie work really well. You see, there's this disadvantage in our culture that has unfolded, and that is we have become very insulated. When we're out in public, we may be social and friendly, but then we don't have visitors and we don't make visits. And our life is busy. And we're doing a lot of things. Hey, I get it. I understand. I still stay occupied and fairly busy, but things have changed a little bit as our kids have grown older. I don't have to go to as many games, I don't have to go to games, and soon I don't have to split duties and all of this. I get it. There are seasons of life that are extremely busy and legitimate, and it takes a little extra effort to do some of the things I'm talking about. And sometimes it's, you know what, it's just not possible. And so, you know what, I get it. But we have to take initiative, because what happens is our children grow up and they begin to make their way in life, and we sing praises unto the Lord for this new season of our life. But we have also formed a habit to stay busy and insulate our life because of the demands of family, that now that we have some liberty, we still don't move into the personal walk with somebody, the time with somebody, the visit with somebody, the planning to meet with somebody. There's value. And I'll tell you, to encourage one another face to face, friend to friend, acquaintance to acquaintance, buddy to buddy, however you want to put this, it has value. And if it's someone who needs encouragement, you can talk and get together. You can talk about a lot of different things. But if you bring the Lord into the conversation, I want you to know he shows up. Now think about this. And there were probably a lot of people talking about what's going on. But here these two guys are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a 7-mile walk. It's just these two guys. They're walking along talking about what has just happened. Now Jesus is resurrected, just resurrected. I mean, I would think that there's a lot of places he's got to be. You know, a lot of things to do, a lot of places to be. I really do. I think that. I mean, here's the glory hour, you know. He's resurrected. And yet, he shows up on this lonely road with two guys who are doing what? Talking about him. And get this. They're talking about him and what just happened, and they are downcast. Hope became fleeting to them. And Jesus says, hey, I could be in a lot of places, and we know that he can be a lot of places at once now. But he sees two guys who are losing faith. Where does he show up? To the two guys walking on a lonely road who need to understand so they don't lose faith. What people in your life need to be encouraged and inspired in the faith, because they may be losing hope. They may be losing faith. Maybe it's some other circumstance in life. Maybe they, walked with the Lord or were strong with the Lord at some point, and they just, you know, and things don't seem to be going their way from their perspective. Would you go for a walk with them? Would you listen to them? Would you encourage them? Would you share with them? Or has this Christian life just basically become about when we need encouragement? These two fellas were losing faith. And Jesus could be in a lot of places doing, you know, really important king stuff. And he shows up without playing the king card. Without playing the Jesus card, he just says, what are you talking about? Tell me about it. I mean, we know that Jesus has all the answers. And from your perspective, when you're with somebody, you may feel like you have all the answers. But why don't you just ask some simple questions and allow them to talk and not hurry through your life and lend them your ears? Without answering the text or the email or the Facebook notification that just came through. Didn't know I knew all those fancy terms, huh? I've learned them from my family. What about walking with them, sitting with them, face-to-face.com? They were losing faith. And Jesus saw. And he said, I'm walking this road. I'm going to be with these two guys. And as they were together and they began to fellowship, and he prayed and broke bread, handed it to them, their eyes were opened. I mean, I don't want to get too casual here. But once again, I find the beauty of Jesus being so warm, so kind. What are you talking about? Oh, well, what things? As if Jesus was playing dumb, so to speak. You know? Afterwards, I've been one of these guys, I went, that turkey. You know, and I, please, our, so, that holy turkey, I, you know, you know, I want to be careful here, but I, you know how somebody knew something, kind of led you along, and then the realization comes later, and then they're gone, and they go, they knew all along. Look at how they, that rascal, you know. All for our betterment. All for our good. Allowing them to talk, share, ask. And then he brings in not this big correction. You know, when we read this, like, hey, you're foolish. What's wrong with you? What are you, stupid? Let me tell you. Here, from Moses on. He meant, don't get lost in the folly of losing your faith. And let me tell you what's happened and why. And they're going, oh. I want you to look at John, Gospel of John, chapter 21. It's the last chapter of the Gospel. Once again, this is after Jesus had resurrected and shown himself to people, the disciples. And in John chapter 21, let's go to verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. You have to understand, just prior to this, it's basically Peter. Well, I should probably start with verse 1. Let's just do that. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Here's the account. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Peter says, I'm going fishing. So they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, warm greeting. Hey, friends! Have you caught anything? They're out about 100 yards. We're going to find that out. Hey, have you caught anything? Any fish? They answered, no. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, in other words, John says to Peter, Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it, that it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, because he had it off, and he jumps into the water. The other disciples follow in the boat, towing the net full of fish. You have to remember Peter. I mean, he's the one that denied Jesus three times. This is the guy that's carrying guilt. He's the one that slipped back, and especially after he said, you know, Jesus, I'll go with you anywhere. I will defend you. I will stand up for you. I will never deny you. And Jesus calls out, and Peter hears that it's the Lord. He swam for it. He left the fish. He left his friends. He left his coworker. He left it all. And he gets into the water, and he swims for it. 100 yards. The boat was out. I'm sorry, it gets me that here's Peter, who lost some faith, carried some guilt, is going back to what he knows, fishing. And he hears it's the Lord on the shore, and nothing else mattered. He swam for it. When we feel our faith slip, and the Lord shows up, I want to be like Peter here. I just want to leave everything else undone, unkept, unfinished. I can get to it later. Because right now, the Lord's called out to me. And I know that spiritually and relationally with Him, I'm not in the best place. And when I hear His voice and there's opportunity to get to Him, man, I could just leave everything else and swim for it. And that's what Peter does. He swims for it. The rest follow in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning with coals, and there were fish on it and some bread. Listen to this. They're out fishing all night. It's early in the morning. Jesus knows that His disciples are out there. His followers. Those He walked with and lived with and spoke to and allowed them to be used in ministry. And they were there. They watched Him crucified. Here He is, Jesus, knowing where they're at. He took time early in the morning to show up and said, I know where these boys are going to be. I know where they're going to be. And so I'm going to make a fire. I'm going to make a fire. I'm going to get here early enough that I'm going to have some bread on the fire. And I am going to have some fish ready for them. Jesus went to work to host this meeting. It does not say that He called fire from heaven or He commanded some angels to do this. Or they said, okay, five of you walleye right there, out. And when you jump out, I want you cleaned and I want you on the coals. We know that Jesus was quite a fisherman. He was so good that he could find money in a fish's mouth and not even be there to see it. I mean, I don't know. I just know that Jesus prepared, knew where they were going to be, set this up. And He calls out to them, do you have any fish? He didn't start out with, I am the Lord. And you have disappointed me. And why are you out fishing when I taught you to fish for men? What kind of Christian disciples are you? Jesus led with this. You guys caught anything? Try over here. It's amazing that they did it, but they probably remembered other stories where they were told by someone to put the net on the other side or go over here or try this or put out a little further. Or yeah, you fished all night, but that don't matter. I know this isn't the peak time, but we're going to go catch some fish. They probably saw they threw the net and it was full. And John says, Peter, it's the Lord. Jesus starts with this. These are the things that are recorded. We don't get the in-between conversation. They didn't record all those details. But it's, come on up here, boys. And take some of those fish that you just caught. And let's add them to the fire. Come on, let's eat together. It's been a long night for you. I see you went back to what you used to do. So I'm here to encourage you. And especially you, Peter. Because if you were to read on, this is where Jesus reinstates, affirms Peter, that regardless of the denial that you committed, I still called you. I still chose you. You still have purpose. The Holy Spirit can still indwell your life. Even though you've committed this, Peter, my blood's enough. Your mind may remember it, but you get over it and you get about kingdom business. And as I am reinstating you, as I am encouraging you because you are losing faith, go and do this. Go feed my sheep, those who are losing faith, those who are becoming wayward, those who are growing discouraged. Peter, do like I've done to you. Isn't that the way it is with the Lord? All these things we receive from Him, all these things that He has done for us, it is about us then turning and doing the same for other people. He walked with us, let's walk with somebody. He prepared a meal for us. Prepare a meal for somebody. He knew where we were going to show up. Listen, when you know where somebody shows up and frequents, show up. You can make it look like, hey, what are you doing here? Listen, I've done that. I've shown up at places, not knowing that they were going to be here at this time, but I know this is where they come, so I keep going back there to have my coffee and pie. I show up there. Why? Because they frequent here. And I understand that they have been losing faith, or they haven't come to the faith, but they're getting close. Or I want to check on somebody and see how they're doing. Do they need encouragement? I show up at those places. Even if some of them are not my favorite. Because at that time and at that point, it's not about me. It's not about how good the bread is, or how good the fish is, how good the pie is, how good the coffee is. It's about the person. And they walk in and show up, and I go, what are you doing here? I mean, I'm not lying. I'm playing a little dumb. How are things? Man, I can't believe I bumped into you. This is great. I was actually thinking about you. Let me get that coffee for you. Let me get this for you. Jesus shows up on a lonely road because two people were losing faith and talking about him. He shows up on a shore, makes a shore lunch for his disciples who are a little lost in all of this and trying to gather it all together, and specifically Peter, who deny the Lord, who needs the encouragement, needs the assurance. Jesus shows up where they're going to be before they get there. Prepares it, plans it, goes out of his way. All to bring encouragement, inspiration to listen, to ask simple questions, and then move to significant questions. Somebody who has been a believer that you want to encourage, and maybe they're slipping and struggling, and you just start with simple conversation, and you can start talking about fish or hunting or shopping or kids or whatever, and you just begin to slowly work your way in. See what unfolds. You can bring the Lord into the conversation in a very simple way. Wow, what are you doing? I can't believe it. It's so great to see you. And if they have some believer background, it's very common for you to say, you know, I just feel like the Lord just kind of brought this together, this brief moment. I'm so glad to see you. And if they start to open up and share a couple things, say, hey, I've struggled too from time to time. Isn't that the truth about you? Doesn't mean you completely understand, but you know what it is to have your story, struggle. I like what Jesus asked Peter. Do you love me? When you're talking with somebody who has a faith background, you've heard this said, I'm struggling, I'm not so sure. I mean, I love the Lord, but, and they go with their butt, why things aren't working out. Hey, I understand you're struggling. Still love the Lord? Yeah, but I'm back in my old habits. But they know. Do you love the Lord? Yes. If they have a background, they're going to say yes. Yes, but I'm not living like it. Well, we understand that. We get that. We got that. But if they will just confess, say, you know what? And he cares about you. And he loves you. I want you to walk today with the assurance that though you maybe have struggled, the Lord has not struggled in his kindness, grace, mercy, and compassion and care for you. That only takes a couple of minutes. Where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you initiating, taking a walk with or a cup of coffee with or whatever it is? Who are you calling? Who are you reaching to? Because I will tell you this. There are those in this room who need encouragement. And how is it that it could not occur to us to take time out of our busyness and all the important, urgent things that we do? To go find somebody, to go reach somebody, to take time out for somebody. Those of you with children still at home, I get the busyness. But I'll tell you what, you want your kids to be healthy, you want them to be spiritual, you want them to be in church, you want them to grow, you want to spend time with them. Well, model this, how to reach somebody, how to encourage somebody. You model that to your kid. You want them to have spiritual health, you model that. You let them stay there. You let them sit there, or you let them know why it was so important that I went and met with somebody, called somebody. You start giving them that. This is how my daddy lives his life. This is how my mama lives her life. You pass that on to them. Yeah. Has it ever occurred to you, here, you guys, to invite somebody from your school to go sit with you at the football game? To join you and your friends? Has it occurred to you? And there's more of you in this room. Has it occurred to you? Or has it only occurred to you what you're going to wear to the game? Has it occurred to you to invite the kid or a couple kids from your school who aren't in your friendship group? Who need a friend? You may not feel like you're the coolest kids at school. Maybe you do, because I like you guys. I think you're cool. If I were to picture you at school, you're probably the cool group. But in all reality, there's probably some kids that are looked at that are cooler than you. Don't be offended. I'm just telling you, that's probably the chance. The numbers are there. Percentages are there. And so you kind of look, hey, they're the cool kids. You understand that you are cooler probably than most, and there are people in your school who look at you and say, I would like to hang around with those cool people. What that would mean to them. It doesn't mean that they've got to become your next best friend. I know, if I invite them, they're always going to be pestering me. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Hey, listen, I get that. It doesn't change when you get older. What it would mean to them. Because I will tell you, those two guys from the road to Emmaus who were encouraged, they turned around the next day and it said they went back to Jerusalem because they were filled with passion and excitement. Do you understand that if you invite someone to some sporting event, or I'll use football or whatever it is, you invite them, or to go to the mall, why do both of you smile right away? Do you understand that that could lead them to the Jerusalem in their life? To the place of Christ? Because you took them to a football, you met them at a football game, and you weren't embarrassed to be with them because of the cool people in your life? I remember. And I'm not sharing something with you that I haven't lived. And it's not a self-righteous thing, I'm just telling you. It's about being inclusive, not exclusive. It's not just a message to them. It's to us. The road to Emmaus. For Peter, that morning, it was the road to recovery. Scripture tells us to restore people gently. That's what Jesus did. I know that you want to preach at them and you want to shake them. You want to say, what is wrong with you? What were you thinking? Don't come crying to me about your problems now. You walked away from the Lord, you sinned against Him, and now you're tangled up in all this, and you're coming to me and you just want me to listen and encourage you and fix it? Not to be rude, but in the love of Jesus, are you stupid? Listen, I'm just saying things that you've thought and felt. Restore them gently. Oh, there's time to care front and all those things, but I'll tell you what helped. I'll tell you what helped Peter back is that he had a previous relationship with the Lord. What will help people back is if, and we know it takes the work of the Holy Spirit, but you have an advantage of helping restore somebody when they've already had relationship with you. Doesn't mean you can't go to a stranger. Jesus showed up on the road to Emmaus. Total strangers. By the way, goes against all directives here, and we're not talking about your small children, but I want to encourage all of you. Talk to strangers. Talk to strangers. Talk to strangers. Peter had a previous relationship with the Lord and it helped him. If people have a previous relationship with you, you have an advantage. So I would encourage you now to have a larger acquaintance and friendship base. Keep your best friends, hang out with your buddies, do that, maintain it, grow it, all of that. But be inclusive. I'm encouraging you to have more friends. More acquaintances. Because if one of them should struggle, you are coming to them then as a friend. Not only that, if you should struggle, they can come to you as a friend.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.